Very excited about this week's podcast. Dr. Craig Duncan's back on board and he has a wealth of knowledge on self-science today, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, Greg. How are you?
Good
to be here.
Yeah, good. Before we rip in, mate, what's your favourite product?
High protein balls.
Yeah. Flavour?
Honeycomb.
Yeah, not too bad.
They're my favourite.
Birthday cake man myself.
Oh, I love the birthday cake too. That's a new one. But no, they are the best product I've ever had.
Okay, self-science. Let's find out what that's all about.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by the revolutionary new Hydroxyburn Sleep RX. This natural therapeutic sleep formula is unlike any other, designed specifically to combat the negative impacts of poor sleep on the mind and body without the common side effects associated with other sleep aids. It combines innovative and clinically researched German ingredients Recoverburn and Blue Ness with other safe proven herbs to calm the mind and soothe the nerves, helping you sleep better. How? Via lower levels of stress and anxiety and reduced muscle pain, improving your recovery time and enhancing mood. Sleep better.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the land of fit, happy and healthy. With me, one of my favourite people in sports science, Dr. Craig Duncan. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
Good. It's been a while since you've been on board. Thanks for coming back in.
It's always great to come up here.
Your Instagram account is...
Dr. Craig Duncan.
Yep. And you've been pushing something for quite a while now. When I say pushing, you've been servicing the thought of self-science.
Yeah, the concept of self-science is something that has been resonating for me for a long time. And it's something I've just started writing a little bit about. And it's just this concept. There's so much information out there these days. And if you think about it, what exercise program to do, what diet to do, what philosophy to follow, you know, what psychology is going to work for you. But we've got the information and we've got the intellect probably to actually make those decisions for ourselves. So rather than doing a diet that we see on Instagram that someone else is following, how do we know that's actually going to work for us? So this idea of self-science came about because I started to think, well, you know, about monitoring yourself and what works exactly for you in every aspect of your life.
And that's one of your expertise is monitoring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Heavily monitored the Socceroos and other teams, yeah.
Yeah. So my niche in sports science is monitoring and managing that side of things. So monitoring training, monitoring fatigue, monitoring the athlete in respect to that holistic nature of them. And so I started to think, well, why can't we do that in every everyday life? And I think the technology is there. Even from a research perspective, the N of one can be done. And
it's probably the most important research for some people, isn't it?
100%. So yeah, so that's where self-science came about, and it's something I'm going to, you know, write more on and really focus on, because I think it can make a real difference than you following something else when you can do a study of you.
So how do you take something you've developed with the world's best athletes and turn that into something that corporates, people, fitness people, just people who want to be better in life, how do you take the team environment and create self-science and push theories that you're talking about?
Well, look, I think the first thing starts with the analysis phase, and that's about analyzing yourself. And it's interesting taking things from sport that we know work in there and into these other environments. Sometimes that's not easy, but this one I really do know works. So the first thing I say is that you have to monitor yourself in some way. And we do that. I mean, that's as simply as you might weigh yourself each day or you monitor how much you're lifting in the gym or what you're eating. I think people are actually monitoring different areas of their life, but they're not integrating it that well.
So I'm at home and I'm training and I'm doing my thing and I'm watching your Insta and I'm very inspired by what you're saying. How do I start taking steps towards, you know, thinking about self-science?
Well, first thing you got to do is how long did you sleep last night? You know, recording those things. And it can start in the most basic form of just having it on paper, pen and paper, recording things like how was your sleep last night? How long did you sleep for? How are you feeling when you woke up? And if you're trying something new, you're trying an exercise program, how is that actually working for you? And a nutritional regime, even a supplement. What's the outcome of that? Rather than just taking it, going back and analyzing yourself and thinking, is this making me better?
And is it important for us to analyze this stuff? Like, obviously, people who are highly successful analyze, set goals, change the plan, make adjustments. Then you've got people that sit on a couch and do their thing and happy days, however you want to live. But how important is getting a knowledge of self-science. So let's talk about some young kids in the fitness industry coming through, left school, trying to find their place in the world, hit the gym. That's like my son's going through that right now, Taj, and he's just loving the gym environment and the people he's meeting in the gym. And he's met some really motivational people through that. And he's, I would say he is someone who's a student of self-science right now, because he had no idea what he was doing until he was 18, didn't know about lifting programs, didn't know about food planning, didn't all the things that come in. How do we take a concept like self-science and make that more available to people to understand? Because it really is a path, isn't it? Like,
And it's a journey, and it's a lifelong journey. And that's what I think. If we have a map given to us that isn't our map, then the direction we're going to take could be really wrong, and we're not going to get where we want to go. I mean, you asked the question, is it for everyone? I think that's a part of self-science as well. What do you want out of life? And I think it starts with that basic thing, where you are now, taking the time and being comfortable in the silence to reflect on, where do you want to be? What's important for you? What are your values? What's your mission in life? And then working back from there, how are you going to achieve it? Often we ask ourselves the question, was today a perfect day, without knowing what is our perfect day? So that's what we want to look at. What life do we want to have? Work back from there and then start living it. It doesn't mean, you know, at our age, that's going to change in 5 years as an adolescent or a teenager, that's going to change. But we need to have something that we're going to work towards. And then you monitor that and then move forward. However, like you said, if you're happy being on the couch, not having any analysis at all, just doing your own thing, living day to day, and happy that's days. Happy.
Yeah,
I'm completely comfortable with that.
Yep.
The major thing for me and trying to help people is that they're comfortable with the way they're at. At the end of life, they can look in the mirror and go, you know what? I got everything that I wanted out of life.
And mate, what tools are out there for a young person who wants to look at their self-science? Like, obviously you've talked about how'd you sleep, you know, how'd the training program go. Like, well, a young person's not going to know to think like that. Like, what tools are available out there to talk to? Because you're a journaling fan, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And part of journaling is putting down your theories before you journal.
Yeah.
Like putting yourself in the ugly part of the corner and asking yourself the big questions. I know in your journal, one of the questions is, what do you want put on your gravestone? Is that the right word, gravestone?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
The tombstone logo.
What do you want on there? And while we're here, what's on yours?
It's a really good question, because I know what I wrote in that journal at the time, but what do I want? My logo is that basically he enjoyed life and life enjoyed him.
Yeah, nice.
You know, so basically it's about having an impact for better as much as I possibly can. The tools, in respect to the integration, there's not great tools out there.
Because as an athlete, you provide those tools, don't you? And then you put it together and it's all managed from a team perspective.
Yeah.
So self-science is obviously me or my son or friends down the road or anyone working in a gym or a sup store. Like, how do they take a self-science approach? Is there any frameworks they can look at?
Well, if you look at some of the apps that are out there now, you can take it to a certain point. Even, you know, my Apple Watch and Apple Health, you can look at there's some integration, but there's no full integration like what we do in sport. And that's what I'm trying to change, to develop that technology so it becomes easier for everyone to be able to use that. But there's no doubt we could monitor you now. We've spoken about that, and then we could get you to collaborate with us to check on that data. What I'm trying to do is, rather than me do it for you, that we work collaboratively, and then we can get to the outcome that you want to get to, that you can become an expert in you.
So let's just step out of me and talk about corporates, because you've been changing the athlete program to a corporate program, so running a corporate like a team. So that has an app and a program that you, obviously an individual can't call you up and say, can you start monitoring me? Or you can.
We want to get towards that. And I'm always very, very happy for anyone to contact me through social media or through you to discuss that.
Okay.
And it mightn't be that we do that, but just to have that discussion and open that up, I'm very happy to do that. Yep.
So let's talk about what you're going to do with the corporate world in relation to monitoring.
Yeah. Well, I found doing corporate talks and just going around.
And you do a lot of that.
Yeah. And chatting to people in that environment. I found a lot of people unhappy. It's incredible that in the environment they're in, and we only get one life, and to think that, you know, a third of our life is working. And then what I find now is probably another third of that might be that work is on your mind.
Stressing about work.
Yeah. Yep. And then you've got that time sleeping. So we've got some real issues.
Which we hope we get a third.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so that started to make me really realize that we need to do things differently in corporate. And to get a win-win situation from the business owners to the people that are there, to work collaboratively together, because happy people will work better.
Absolutely.
And we can think that the grass is greener on the other side. And and it's not going to be in most of the cases.
Pretty similar.
So we need to make this environment where we are the best it possibly can be. So my job in sport has always been to get the players that we work with or the athletes that we work with at the best possible condition, physiologically, psychologically, sociologically, so they can perform when they have to perform. The workplace is no different. You know, way back in 2001, they started talking about the corporate athlete, and that's an interesting analogy or relationship between sport, and I think it really is there. Sport and corporate is quite similar. But it's more about managing these individuals that are working in this corporate space, and we can do that. And so it's looking at from a team perspective, managing that team, you know, from an overall performance, you know, from a holistic performance, that you've got productivity KPIs, but you've also got wellness KPIs, that you've got all this. So you've got this worker that really wants to show up and is working at a high level.
And it's for the best of their life too. It's for what makes the better human.
You want to go to a place that you're going to a third of your life. Mm. You want to enjoy what you're doing. And so we've worked hard in that area. And
so can you talk a little bit about what you do there, or is it IP protected?
Like, well, it depends.
So say you come to Body Science, and I do want to put this in at Body Science.
Yep.
And obviously from a human perspective, you can't force it. It's like people have got to want to embrace it. So what type of things would I be doing if I signed up 40 people from Body Science? How would a day look?
Well, we'd start with the analysis phase where we look at everyone and see where everyone is at and what we want to
set a baseline for everyone.
Yeah, set a baseline, individualize it in as much as we possibly can to see what each worker wants to achieve. So there has to be that individual component, even though it is a team. And then from there,
is that achieve at work and in life? Like,
yes.
So if they say I want to lose a few kilos, I want to get this, I want to spend more time with the kids, it's all monitoring.
And that's what we're working towards, Greg, that even our monitoring can be individualized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we haven't been doing as a team, you know, in the sporting environment, because it's very much the team has one focus, but you could have all these individuals having a different focus. That's what we're working towards as well. And
so you set the baseline.
And then we have an application that we use. It takes just a minute a day for people to put in some really basic data.
Okay.
Yeah, less than a minute actually. A couple of questions that they answer. And from there, we have some algorithms that we've developed, and it identifies basically where they are in respect to their, what we call their human performance index.
Okay.
Yeah. And the biggest thing that I work on is that the people implementing the program, so the company owner, that the reason they're doing it is for the better of, yes, the organization, but the people that they are actually working with. Because we don't want it to be like...
Edged sword.
Yeah, we don't want the people working there thinking, oh...
He's just monitoring me and he thinks...
Big brother to see, you know, if I'm productive and that. No, it's not about that. It's about getting the best out of the people for them to live a really good life as well.
So you would associate part of what you're doing with the person's PD, for example?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And
how are HR people taking this? Because that's pretty much standing on a few HR egos, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, HR, people and culture and all those sort of areas, it does fall into that space. We're not treading on their toes. I think we're just showing added value that they might not be aware of that can be done. And so it's just having those conversations. And we've, you know, have those relationships and those conversations and then trial it. It's about piling it and seeing it, you know, that it actually works. It's just a different concept of doing, because at the end of the day, at the moment in the workplace, there's some problems. The amount of money that it costs people being off work, or people even being at work and not working and not being happy, we need to make a difference.
And so I spend my minute just putting some data into the app or phone, whatever it is.
Yep.
So what happens then?
So we have a dashboard of all your workers.
Get a little text message that says, "Hey, Greg, enjoy life." Like, what's
and that's the feedback. So say if your sleep was down, you know, an automated message could come back. Okay, this is the information, you know, to help you sleep better.
So some sleep tips.
Sleep tips, or if the fatigue is high, or your exercise hasn't been there, or there's whatever it is. Yeah, there's some tips that come back. It can all be automated through our system. And then if it needs to follow up, that's when some coaching can come through.
Okay, and you're part of that coaching as well?
Yeah.
You do a lot of that?
Yeah, I love it.
Because you do a lot of executive coaching, don't you? Talking to people who have basically mortgaged a second house to go in and become a partner of a firm, for example, and then they're driven by 6-minute timesheets and billable hours. And how do you make a person like that happy? That's a tough question. Sorry,
this is
a $1 million question. We could
but it's a tough. It goes back to the basics, you know. Through I have a model that I work through, and through this analysis phase about how do we make that person happy, or what's going to make them happy, and then work back from there and seeing what anxieties are an issue for them, or what is actually an issue for them. And then and working back and just having that person there to help them along the line, I think has really helped. We've had really good success in it, and it's something I enjoy, because you know, and you would know this as a founder, one of the big reasons companies fail, and particularly startups, and it's very, very popular now to be an entrepreneur, it's very trendy, and the reasons they fail is, okay, you've got problems with cash flow and you've got problems, the idea mightn't be good, but the other one that's critical is founder well-being. So if you're not right, and you have to be at the top of your game. So I'm actually saying that the founder or the entrepreneur is the ultimate corporate athlete.
Nice.
And then if you think, and if you think executives that are in control of big money, you know, shareholders.
Yeah, exactly.
I want them at the top of their game. And, you know,
exactly.
And I believe, and that's...
We all watch a football on a Friday and say so-and-so had a shit game or whatever, you know, and it's just people and personality and timing and life, isn't it? Like, it's exactly the same things.
Yeah. So, you know, I know how good we are at getting people to perform. And I think in the corporate space, these people have to put, because there's livelihoods at stake here.
Yeah.
So it might even be more important than the athletes that we'll work with over the years.
I guess it, when you look at it too, like an elite athlete will play, or depending on the sport, but once a week, let's just say, and they bring their game on that day.
Mm.
I mean, obviously got the training and everything to get to there. It doesn't just happen on the day. Mm. It's not like a magic wand. But those CEOs you're talking about, though, of those big companies, they're every day. Like,
absolutely.
You got to turn it on every morning.
Yeah, and absolutely. And that's one of our things, to raise self-awareness. The whole self-science concept is about self-awareness.
Yep.
So what I mean by that, so, okay, you get up in the morning, you put your data in, it identifies you're not at the top of your game, okay? And once we have the data, we identify your human performance
index. So does it identify that to you or to me?
Both.
Both of us, okay.
Yeah, so we can work out, okay, this is your normal index, you're outside the range, you're below that, you're not in your optimal performance zone. Okay, what does that mean? And you've got a big meeting at 9 o'clock, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And, but you have to do that meeting.
Yep.
But the awareness that you're not at your best can positively affect you, because then we can implement, okay, your stress levels are really high, let's implement some breathing activity or whatever it is that works best for you, so you can go into that meeting at your best, so you're not going to make critical decisions that affect your business down the track.
Yeah.
And you probably know this if you reflect those days where you're just not feeling better. You walk in the door and before you know it, you've had a go at three people on your staff and you haven't had the time.
No one would say that here, mate. Never happens
sure
with body
that,
science.
I'm sure that's not happened.
Poor protein and rainbows and lollipops.
But yeah, for the people out there, this could happen.
Oh, absolutely.
But if we're more aware of exactly where we are, because, you know, you could have had a disrupted sleep, you haven't been able to exercise, your nutrition's way off, whatever it is, and you're more self-aware that your decision-making process or how you conduct yourself around the corporate environment is affected. That's what we want to get to. Yeah. And that can only lead to success.
So how do you play with people's emotional intelligence and self-science together? I mean, obviously you got people who are drivers and coaches and all different types of people. How do you, in where you're at, take that personality type and play in self-science?
Well, that's a really good question. And that's probably the crux of it, is what we want to do is get people to collaborate with us, that you become an expert in you. Because that's vital. I mean, how well do you know you? And then, you go to a gym, you've started and someone's going to write your program that might have met you, had a 5-minute chat, and then they write your program and you're going to follow that program with no collaboration. All you're doing is giving them information they wrote program. Yes, they're an expert, okay, for writing that program. But with the amount of information out there now, that you can have collaboration in that. I'm not saying that you don't still get experts involved. What I'm saying is that you and a good expert will get you to collaborate in that, because there's no point them writing your program after being there 5 minutes, because that's the program they think is going to work for you. And you know, hang on, last time I started a program, I did something very similar and I stopped after a couple of months. Why is it going to change now?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's about being in tune with yourself. You know, we talk about nutritional regimes. Okay, it might be really trendy to be on a ketogenic diet. It's tough. Okay, so if your personality is not like that, you might be able to stay, you know, not really strong and focused, and you might be able to stay on that for a couple of months, but at the end of the day, you might fall off that because it doesn't fit your personality.
Yep.
And that's about you being aware of you, okay? Knowing your history, because you know it better than anyone, and then putting that into the collaboration to get the best outcome for you.
So these accountability tools aren't available in individuals at the moment. It's just for the corporate.
Yeah.
You've launched your corporate program with that?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Nice.
And we've been trialing it and piloting the corporate program. We've had, it's been really enjoyable and successful. You know, always, it's it's open for improvement and open for adjustment, but yeah.
So you were with the Socceroos for 10 years, the State of Origin team. You're with Manly now?
Yeah, I'm with Manly. Yeah. Socceroos for four years.
How good
years.
Are they going this year too? Is that
I
you?
I know, Manly's yeah. good. Powered by Body Science.
Yeah, Donnie would be saying, no, it's not him, it's me.
It's all Donnie.
Yeah, it's all Donnie.
And Des. Yeah. That's a fantastic performance so team down there.
Are they playing in this self-science part with you?
Well, they're monitored. So yep. they're athletes and they're monitored very well. And very much, you know, what we do try and get across to the staff, particularly in the high performance team, is that they reflect on themselves. Yep. As much as they possibly can. So, because you can imagine sport is high intensity, high egos, yeah. pressure.
High stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's under a microscope.
Very much. And so you have to be aware of where you're at each day. And they're working day in, day out. Mm. Like, it's easy for me. I just come in once a week and chat on the phone. But they're in there day in, day out together. So it's very much they're aware of, you know, where they're at emotionally because you know, they're tired. The high performance staff gets under a lot of pressure if there's injuries or anything like that. But it's about continuously trying to improve. And I'm very lucky at Manly. Like, Donny Singer's outstanding.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And the other guys there are really, really good.
Here's a question for you. So you've done a lot of athlete monitoring and all that. Mm. Are you now monitoring the human performance team that are running these athletes? Like, yeah. is that an important part of the world?
It is, yeah. and we're not. You're but not? Okay. But should it happen? And could it happen? Mm. Yeah, it would be really, really good. I have trialed that with coaches.
Okay.
Yeah, previously. And yeah, it's interesting. Because again, a coach is like a CEO.
Absolutely.
So if a coach isn't sleeping well, if they're not getting, how is their decision making? And so it is a real area to monitor those ones that monitor.
And there would be no shortage of people telling them what they can do better either. Like, it's one of those positions in the world where it's always someone's got a great idea.
Yeah. And I think the best coaches, they, you know, they're obviously strong personalities, but they have key people they listen to rather than listening to everyone.
Do you think that we could stick on our website a basic, just going back to the individuals and self-science, just a little template that people could look at from a perspective of what
things
to
monitor.
Yeah, things yep. to monitor and things to and how to monitor. Like, that's a big thing. What is monitoring?
Yeah. Well, basically monitoring, I mean, let's put it simply. If you go training, you would know how many minutes did you train for. You go for a run.
People are probably putting in what they lifted and like that type. Yes. So they're probably doing that part of their life.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm talking about the holistic, like what should they be doing in the whole aspect of where they're going?
Yeah. So you'd wake up in the morning and how many hours did you sleep?
Yep.
What was your sleep quality? And we can do it. Basic template for that. What's your level of fatigue? Mm-hmm. Do you have muscle soreness? How are you feeling psychologically? You know, simple questions like that, and we can put a criteria what they can answer. Even if you start like that, it's just fantastic to do that.
So we need more tools. We need these tools. We've got all these individual floating apps and things that we can look at.
So that's the idea of our app.
Yeah, and you need to get that done, mate.
When I monitor sport, I ask these questions. But how about if you say to me, I want to monitor something else. My algorithm, actually, I've worked it out that it doesn't matter if we have these questions. Whatever the questions is, it's in the responses. So my idea now is just to write a bank of questions across multiple areas that anyone, you know, we do. What do you want to monitor? Like, what would you want to monitor? What's something that's something interesting to you?
To me, I'd probably want to monitor pain management because I'm a bigger guy running and things like that.
Okay. So it's pain management. For me, so right, your question is, you know, we have that. What's your level of muscle soreness? Yeah. You know, and then we have a range that you work on from there. So that's good. But then we could put that in so it's all individualized rather than me coming up with these, which is the norm. Like, I could monitor how many times did I write in my journal, my food intake, anything that we have to get to that point where we're very different. You know, I think it's pretty, you know, it's about a 1 in 400 trillion chance we're born. And even the stats to say that we are us, so it's that chance to be born and then to be actually us is a number I wouldn't even be able to pronounce. Okay, so that means that even though we're human, things not going to work. So why do people go to a gym? No one goes to a gym thinking they're going to stop going to the gym, correct?
Exactly.
And most people last 3 months at a gym. No one starts a diet thinking they're going to fail, but they do, and they do it 10 times over, but they continue to do it.
That's in a week. So, mate, wrapping up on self-science, tell me why I should care about self-science. You're a highly educated, you've got a PhD, you've also done some psychology and you've recently, what have you done recently you were telling me about?
Studied hypnosis.
Hypnosis? Okay, we might get onto that after the podcast. So you are really into self-science. That's
Yeah.
What you believe in.
Yeah.
So, mate, have you got some tips for the people out there listening? A few things we should look at monitoring, how we should do it, why we monitor it, and what makes it the self part of the science?
Well, very, very simply to start with, if we keep it quite basic, let's just monitor your sleep hours and your sleep quality. Just give it a rating out of 5.
So give it a rating. So it's not just look at the number, it's give it a rating.
Yeah. Give it a rating. Like you'd write your sleep hours down, whatever that is, record that. And then the quality of sleep. Just let's keep it simple. Just go, 1 was horrible, no sleep, and 5 was the best sleep of your day. Yeah, okay. Best sleep you've ever had, or you know, a great sleep. And we could keep it simple like that. It could be a psychological status as well. Like, how are you feeling?
And that's that rating. So when you say rating your sleep, you're talking about how you feel when you wake up. Like, it's,
How do you feel? Yeah. Don't do it exactly when you wake up. Just you know, 15 minutes after you wake up.
Is that after a coffee or before a coffee?
We can chat about that. But after a little while, just do that, and maybe fatigue as well. How are you actually feeling physiologically? Your level of fatigue. And just do that. Just whatever rating scale you want to do, do it. But do it for the next few weeks. And then just track it. And look, I know a lot of people that don't like tracking things. And we spoke about that. And that's all
fair enough. Yep.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
So when am I doing this? When am I sitting down and thinking, how is my sleep? How is my quality? How am I feeling?
I'd do it inside the first half hour. Out of waking up.
So before you hit the gym in the morning.
Yep.
As you're lacing your shoes up. Okay. And we should journal this?
Yep. I mean, ideally, you know, we could speak about having a morning routine and what is included in that routine. And, you know, I'm a fan.
Oh, we're here. Let's do it. You're the guru.
I think morning routines are a very important part of your day. But again, it has to be what works for you. However, I think journaling is something that's very, very important. If you write your notes down each day, it could just take a couple of minutes. And you could include this information in your journal. And when you do that, it becomes a story of you. Can you imagine that? And you're writing this journal and you keep it for a long period of time. It becomes a story of, and that's great. But what I love about journaling is when I'm having the worst day of my life, if I look back, you know, to a little while, the last worst day of my life I had, I realize a couple of days later I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, so things will work out. And often, bringing the self-science fact to it, often the worst day of my life or when things aren't going right, why did that actually happen? It happened because, well, you know, I didn't sleep that well. My nutrition might have been off. I didn't get to exercise. I've been traveling a lot. There's all these reasons that could have caused this. Yeah, so I think that's really important. So the morning routine, getting up, I think the first thing you do is make your bed. That's always good because that's successful.
When am I being thankful?
Yeah, then you can be thankful.
Yeah, I know that's a big thing with you. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, have some gratitude, you know, a couple of things that you're grateful for, and not the simple things. You know, we're always grateful for our family and our loved ones. We get that. But grateful for things that are a little bit, we just take for granted. So be grateful for that. Often I'm grateful for waking up. And then we move into...
Well, as I've hit 50, I've hit that zone too.
And then we move into, record how things were in respect to that monitoring status. Then you might go off and do your exercise.
And when you say record, are you using a 1 to 3, a 1 to 10? Well, like how much depth in the analysis should, as in self-science, I mean, obviously pure science is different.
Yeah.
Should I be running a 1, like good, okay, bad, or should I be running at 1 to 10? What type of...
Look, ideal...
I know that's a silly question, but for people sitting here going,
it's a really good question. In the first instance, I just want you to start with a rating scale that works for you, 0 to 5 or 1 to 5. We have it a little bit different where we have words attached to it, which gives it meaning, but there's numbers sitting behind that. So I'm happy for anyone to contact me how to go about that. But just having 1 to 5, that's simple and get started. And then off you go and then track it. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is there are so many tracking devices now. And we can track sleep, we can track what we eat, we can track our exercise, and that's all wonderful. What I'm talking about is integrating that data.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the missing link, to integrate the data to really identify where are you in respect to what we term your human performance index.
Yeah.
So your HPI, where is that today? We want to work on that capacity of nudging that up, but also we want to effectively manage the things that can pull it down, and we term that the noise.
So, man, if I undertake a self-science program, I start, because I mean we've all got fitness watches and we do have bits of information everywhere, but very rarely do I look at them holistically. I look at the one that's I'm thinking about at the time.
Yeah,
it might be how do I sleep type stuff.
Yeah.
So, Craig, one of the things that I've noticed in your journal is the deathbed scorecard, and we are talking about self-science, so I assume the deathbed scorecard is the final analysis where you look back and go, "How did I go?"
Yeah. Well, to take a step back, and I think it's well documented, in 2013 I had problems with my heart, and it was quite serious. And I spent a couple of nights where I didn't know if I was going to survive. And so I was on this, theoretically, it wasn't as bad as that, I suppose, but it was pretty serious, on my deathbed. And I wasn't actually scared of dying. I was scared of the people I was going to leave. You know, that was emotional. But the other thing that was really painful was I hadn't done what I think I was meant to have done.
So, and this is this deathbed scorecard.
And that's how my view of that, and I created that so I never get into that situation. Because we don't know when we're going to die.
Absolutely.
And we do not talk about death. Humans, I think they're going to live forever. We know that's not possible, but we never want to talk about death, and we don't prepare for it well. So the concept of the deathbed scorecard is, rather than waiting to that time, and only some of us will be fortunate enough to have that time to actually reflect, we do it each day. So if you identify five things, could be three things, that are important to you in your life.
Yep.
And then you can mark off, tick it off on a daily basis, okay, that you are able to achieve them, then I've found that to be a very, very positive step in my life.
And in your journal, what type of things do you have under deathbed scorecard?
Yeah, what I look at is my relationship with my children, my family, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with the world, where I'm at in those areas. And I actually mark that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have that on a scale. In the journal, it's a scale of 0 to 20. Where we're at, and we even created a daily deathbed scorecard index. You get it? I like numbers. You don't always have to fill that in, but the whole concept of it is don't let any day go past. Yeah, don't get any day go past with it just gone. Life goes very, very quickly. Okay, so if we can center ourselves and reflect on that, and I use it to reflect on where am I at in these situations. Okay, I'm not functioning optimally in those areas. Let's get that back on track. You know, because there will come a time when we have no more time. And this has been very powerful for me, and it helps with anxiety and worrying about things. If I'm comfortable with those things, then I'm comfortable where I'm at in my day. And the thing is, they're not set in stone. I think you need to reflect on those, and things will change, particularly if you're young or what stage of life you're at. Things will change, and you might adjust those areas.
Mate, I love that. The deathbed scorecard to me is a great concept for where am I at. Like you touched on it there with you, for example, your wife. It's really easy in life to get the shits.
Yep.
And a night goes by, then you get up the next day and you might give it a little peck on the cheek, but there's not, you haven't given your soul to that person like you did on the day you decided to be with that person. And you drive off and become busy, and you come home, and then you might go to bed early because you're tired, and because you're normally in a place where you're not happy when those things are happening, and it all pours down. It's nice to stop and go, gee, I'm giving myself a 10 out of 20 there. And as someone who believes in driving forward and making change, I'd go, I can't deal with that. That's 10 out of 20. That's not good enough. I need to go and deal with that right now. And hey, I'm sorry. Something as simple as that just lines me up for the rest of the week. But if I don't have those scorecards, you just start stonewalling. And as males, we're very good at stonewalling. And so we just put that aside and go, it doesn't exist. Mm. When it's probably one of the most important things on your deathbed scorecard is, did I live the best life with my wife, with my life partner, with my husband? Whatever it is that you are.
And your family and your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of instances where you've seen famous people in the world that have done fantastic things around the world for humanity and that, and their kids have said, I wish we could have got a bit of that.
Yeah, I've known quite a few executives that have retired and gone, gee, I wish I spent more time with my kids when they were younger, because now I've retired, they don't want to know me.
Yeah. So if we start that, the earlier the better, and I think you touch on a good point. I know myself, it doesn't matter how my day is, if things aren't right at home, that's where it all starts. That's the most important thing.
I like that deathbed scorecard. That's something.
Oh, because can I add one other thing?
Bring it on. You're the expert. I'm keen to suck it up.
No, because I'll tell you, I think it's a great fortune of being in that situation myself. I was working at a professional sporting club at the time, and I was worried and anxious and unhappy because I didn't think I'd been listened to, and there was some injuries and there was some bad media, etc. And I was acting like a grump everywhere.
Yep.
I can tell you, when I was in those moments, there was no thought of that team, of that situation. And I would say if you're listening to this now, it might be your work. You're not going to worry about the small things. You're going to, the things that are going to affect you are those critical things of your family and those people close to you. And ultimately, have you made an impact for better?
And so reflecting back on self-science, before we look at sleep hours, quality and how I'm feeling and fatigue, maybe it's setting our deathbed scorecard.
Mm. And it takes work, Greg.
Yeah.
And I think
it's not something to be easy to do either.
No, it's about when you set your values, your mission and your vision as a business. Yeah. I advocate that we all have that individually as well. And that takes work. And in this busy world, we've become uncomfortable in silence.
So true.
So spending time in silence with your own thoughts and reflecting on this is a great process. And I really suggest you have a go. Even the process will really help your day.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to go home and set my deathbed scorecard. Hopefully I'm going to do that because I think that's got a lot of relevance to a whole lot of other scorecards because, you know, the sleep and all that, I get it, like getting that stuff down, but it comes back to why do I want to sleep well? Why do I want to feel good? Because I want to hit these targets that are on these scorecards.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And the other thing is I would make it visible to yourself that it just doesn't become something that's tucked away, you know, like a mission statement that's tucked away. That should be front and center. These are the values that I live by. This is vital.
Yeah.
And that's what I advocate.
We're all about that at Body Science. You can sit on a toilet and read our values today if you want. What should I be looking at as an individual right now before we close and going, I'm going to look at self-science.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I need to do what?
Well, you need to be a student of you.
Yeah.
You know you better than anyone. And if you're sitting there at home listening to this or wherever you are, the question is, what life do you want to live? Are you maximizing your potential? And if you've got a goal to maximize your potential to be the best possible you can be, you owe it to yourself to manage you. You are the most important person to you.
I love it. I love it.
So we can have a mentor. We can have a coach. We can have a gym instructor. We can have a nutritional advisor. We can have a psychologist. And you will be important to them. But you are the most important person to you. So why don't you put in the effort to really work on that. And I think, and I'm happy to work with you on that and to, if anyone wants any further information, but I think we owe it to give ourselves the best possible shot. And I think having this concept of self-science to maximize your self-awareness will ultimately maximize your potential and impact the world for better.
Nice. And have you got a little blog we can stick up on our website and our articles?
I can send you some articles to do that.
Perfect. Well, if you're looking to find Dr. Craig, grab him on Insta. Have you got an email address or something people can talk to you?
Oh, just simply they can go to drcraigduncan@gmail.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Mate, that was excellent. I really appreciate that. Thanks for coming on board.
No problem. I really enjoyed it.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.